1 Corinthians 12:12 and 13. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink.
Thanks, Evan, for that scripture reading. It's an important reminder of the unity that we have in Christ. Baptism is entrance into God's kingdom, into that body, the church. There's a lot of different words we use for the same, this group of people, this global, universal people that are saved, that have their sins forgiven, that are part of God's community, that are going to heaven. Baptism is the entrance into that community. And there's only one baptism. Not all these different baptisms. There's a lot of confusion about baptism in our world, right? You're not baptized into different separate groups or different local churches. You're not baptized into a local church. You're not baptized into a different denominational group with a different set of beliefs. There's one baptism into the one universal church, the one global church made up of people, different races, different incomes, different social statuses, and really some differing beliefs. Baptism is how you get there. That's how you become a member. And this is a widely held belief across a lot of religious traditions. If any of you have ever been to like Europe and visited cathedrals, you probably noticed a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of these cathedrals, like the one in this picture, have a separate building outside of the cathedral. This is actually at Pisa. You can see the Tower of Pisa in the background. But there's a separate building outside. And I remember being like, hey, what is that? You know, as a first time going to Europe when I was younger, someone points out that, you know, what's this other building? And they're like, oh, that's the baptistry. And as a Church of Christ kid, I'm like, no, it's not. That's not a baptistry. That's a baptistry. But it's a building where people are baptized with the symbolic idea that it's outside of the church building because you need to be baptized before you enter into the church. So it's a nice symbol there. And so you'll see not all of them are like that, but a lot of the cathedrals in Europe, they'll have a separate building outside because of that theology. You're baptized and enter into the church. And, you know, there's some confusion there about, you know, we believe the church is a people, not a building. And so there might be some confusion there. But I know other traditions like the Greek Orthodox Church, their baptistries are almost always outside with that same idea. You're baptized into the body, and so you baptize first to get into the church. But this passage shows us that this is the entrance. This is the one, this is your ticket to membership into the global universal body of Christ. And that's really important because a lot of times when we focus on baptism and when we talk about baptism, that kind of gets put on the back burner. You know, when we talk, and it's really important to talk about, you know, baptism is for forgiveness of sins. It's for our salvation. That's important. But sometimes that makes it a little too individualistic. Like baptism is, it's just about me and God. But there's a whole other side to baptism. When you're baptized, you become part of the church. You become part of a community. And we don't want to ever downplay that. And we also want to know your baptism, it connects you not just with the local church, not just with Westgate, but with people in churches all over town. With people, with Christians not only in our town, but not even in our country, with Christians in Africa and Asia and Europe. When you're baptized, you become part of this global group of people who call Jesus Lord. And it's cool because it kind of makes it a little bit like family. You ever met Christians in other places and automatically felt a little bit of a connection with them? automatically they feel like family. It's really kind of a neat experience. I had a friend when I was young who was a missionary. He was part of AIM. You remember Adventures in Missions? He graduated high school and went did Adventures in Missions in Portugal. And my family went to visit him, and we got to hang out with the church that he was working with. And there was a new Christian there, a guy probably just a few years older than me and my siblings. And he was so excited to meet other Christians, other people like him. Because where he lived, in his community, in his circles, there weren't any other Christians, there weren't any other people like him. And so he was greeting all of us with hugs. I mean, it felt like a family reunion. And, you know, and it kind of reminded me of, like, how kind of privileged we are as Christians to have there and to live where we do, where there seems like there's just Christians everywhere. But for him, this was a unique thing. And he felt a unique connection with us as, hey, these are other Christians. These are family. And I loved that attitude. I remember a different but similar experience. I used to live before I lived in Abilene, we lived outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you don't know me, I am a Texan. We just lived there for a while, okay? But we lived outside Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, the weather there is, you know, I can't remember, it's a 6-7 hour drive. It's not that far, but the weather there is significantly different if you go just that far north. And my daughter was born in a blizzard. It felt like a real blizzard. Snowvid was the closest thing we had here, but I mean, we're talking heaps and heaps of snow. And we went and drove to the hospital to meet Layla, and we're stuck there a little bit longer than we thought we would be because of the blizzard. And at one point, finally comes time where it's like, I gotta go out. I got things that I have to do at the house. And I go to my car. And my car is an igloo. I mean, there are heaps of snow all around it. It is just a big sheet of ice. And it's like, well, I got my work cut out for me. I mean, I can't even open the door. And I run into some guy out there, just a friendly dude, and he just gets to talking to me. I guess he was rolling up and told him, you know, I was a minister, youth minister at the time, just had a baby, and he just felt this connection as just another Christian in town. He loved that. And he was talked to me a little bit about faith. And then what ended up happening is he just said, like, man, you're here. You're a minister in town. You're my brother in Christ. And you got a wife and a kid in there. Let me take care of the car for you. I'm going to scrape this thing for you. And, you know, of course, I know you don't have to do that. But he would not take no for an answer. He said, hey, you are my brother in Christ. And you need to let me do this for you. You need to let me bless you in this way. And that dude just took care of the whole car. And it was a chore. And I remember it impacted me. Because I don't know the guy's name. I never saw him again. But he just felt that connection as, hey, we're two Christians here. And I'm going to take care of this guy. He's my brother in Christ. I love that. And we didn't have to talk about theology. We didn't say what denomination you are. Or what are your beliefs about communion and baptism. We didn't get into that. But Jesus is Lord, and he wanted to serve me in that way. And it was really cool. It was a blessing. And it feels cool to just feel that connection and that camaraderie with the global body of Christ. And so I think this was a good dude. And I think he would have maybe done that for a non-Christian as well. But maybe he was kind of leaning into like Galatians 6:10, where Paul says, work for the good of all. Work for the good of, you know, the church. We want to bless those in and outside of the church. Work for the good of all, but especially those in the household of faith. We do as a family, we take care of each other. As a family, we love and we bless each other. And I don't want to say there should be some perks to being in the church together, but that is kind of part of it, right? We're in a family, in a unit, we do take care of each other. And so when you do place membership into the body of Christ, you are making a covenant with other people. The people are, you are pledging to the church, but the church also pledges to you. The church is going to take care of you. Ideally, that's what should happen. And so I thought that was neat. I think there's some neat connect, some global, citywide, community-wide connections we have when we are baptized into Christ, when we become part of the universal church. I love that connection. And I really think it's also important that we have this kingdom mindset. When we start thinking about the global universal church versus kind of a local congregation like Westgate, we need to have a kingdom mindset. Yes, we love Westgate. We love our local church. But we also love other churches in town. And especially in Abilene, where there's a church on every corner and on every street, it can be easy to start thinking of it as almost like a competition. Almost like this is this capitalistic society. We want our church to be better and get more customers than the other church. And that's not thinking with a kingdom mindset. And it is hard, right? It is hard when we have beloved members that go and they go to another church for whatever reason. That's hard when that happens. I don't like that. But I also do want to acknowledge it's not a kingdom loss. We're not losing someone from the greater body of Christ. It's harder when you see somebody leave a local church and not go anywhere and kind of give up the faith. That is a real kingdom loss. But when people just move membership, sometimes it's called sheep stealing. We don't want to go try to pick off sheep from other churches. Sometimes it's called swelling. I've heard it called swelling, which is kind of a gross way of putting it. But it's implying that moving membership a whole lot sometimes isn't very healthy. Swelling isn't always very healthy. Sometimes it's good to plant roots in one place. But if you're going to have a kingdom mindset, we don't want to think too competitively with other churches. And especially in Abilene when that's hard. Plus, have you guys seen Nathan Burrow at Hillcrest? I think he works out a little bit. I don't want him to think I'm trying to pick off his members. That would not go well for me. We don't want that. And he's my friend. And so we want to work together for the kingdom of God. We don't want to be against each other. There's a global church. So generally speaking, maybe more than generally, you should be a member of the universal global church through baptism. That's how you become a member of God's church, is through baptism. And you should probably do that. Become a member of the global body of Christ through baptism before you become a member of a local church. So they kind of mean different things. And there could be different expectations for that, and that can be different, for kids, right? Kids, a lot of times, they aren't baptized in the body of Christ yet, but their families come over here and they're members. And so there can be some exceptions for that. But this is really kind of where it gets a little confusing. And there are probably some differing beliefs in here about this stuff. But this idea, you should be a member of the body of Christ, baptized into Christ, then members into a local congregation. That's usually how we view these things, but it's not often very, we don't hammer that out very often. But sometimes I've seen this attitude or this belief amongst some people that to become a member of any church, you need to be baptized into that church. Hey, I want to be a member here. I'm going to be baptized. I don't want to speak into different denominational beliefs, but I know there are some denominational beliefs where it's like, okay, well, you were a member of this denomination, but if you're switching here, then you need to be baptized into this church and this denomination. You sometimes see that. But even in the churches of Christ, there might be some confusion about that, about whether when you're baptized, are you being baptized into the global body of Christ, or are you being baptized into the Churches of Christ group? As I know we don't like to say we're a denomination. I know some people don't like to say we're a tradition, but are we being baptized into this kind of group of churches that identify with some similar practices that were started in the 1830s-ish by Barton Stone and Alexander Campbell? Are you being baptized into that, or are you being baptized into the global body of Christ, into the universal church? And some would kind of say, well, they're kind of the same thing, but that's where there's some differing views in here. But I've always been taught that when we are baptized in the body of Jesus Christ and his church, that's what we're doing. It's as simple as that. There's no denominational commitments. We don't get into the muckiness of that. It's talking about forgiveness of sins, Jesus is Lord, entrance into the church. That's the confession we make. Not any theological commitments. And honestly, most churches I've seen this, and it's happened at Westgate too. When we have some members who were originally grew up in a different faith tradition, in a different denomination, and maybe we're baptized in that different faith tradition and different denomination, usually there's some kind of conversation about what was your baptism like? What did it mean to you? How did it happen? And a lot of times, we're not going to say, hey, you have to rebaptize again. Oh, you got it. There's a lot of people who weren't baptized in churches of Christ here who we consider members of the body of Christ, and we still view them as saved, and we didn't rebaptize them. And there may be other cases where we do that, but in a lot of cases, that has not been the case, which if you think about it, to me, that is a statement that we believe when we are baptizing somebody, it is into the global body of Christ, not some commitment to a denomination or a certain set of beliefs or for a certain faith tradition. And that can be up for debate. I know there's differing views on that, but I think the healthiest way to view it is you are baptized not into any denominational set. You are baptized into the global body of Christ. Now, I think it's really important, though. So that's step one. You know, when we really talk about membership in God's kingdom, baptism is your ticket. That is the way. And so I want to set that up before we start talking about the idea of local church membership. It's an idea that I would say isn't very, quote, biblical. There's not something really hammered out in Scripture about it. But it is something that you can see there were some issues. You could see there was a kind of a need. There had to have been, even in the early church, there had to be some kind of need or identification for this. Like, I think about the book of Romans. Romans was written to kind of vaguely the church in Rome. Rome, when this was written, had over 1 million people in it, stacked pretty closely together. There had to have been a collection of different house churches, different churches in the same city. And they probably had to have, and you know, we're talking about, again, people from different backgrounds, different views, different theologies. There's probably Gentile-type churches and Jewish-type churches. And Paul's trying to work through some of their issues there. But there had to have been multiple congregations with some kind of identifier of, I go to this house church or I go to this other house church. So something like that was needed. I think of 1 Corinthians 14:23. We're not giving this text what it's due here, but it says, if therefore the entire church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you're out of your mind? Okay, like I really, again, I don't like to take verses out of context. I don't like proof texting here. But what I really want you to see in this text is that Paul is making some kind of differentiation between members and non-members, between insiders and outsiders. And not only that, he's implying that in the early church, I mean, this is like, dude, we're talking like 50s AD, like early on, it was possible non-members were coming and joining in the worship assembly. They were meeting in homes and they were seeing what this was all about. And there was some kind of differentiation. And probably, in this case, it was probably baptism. But I think it's important to note that there was some differentiation between members and non-members. And we're not given a whole lot of instruction about what that should look like other than being baptized into Christ. But I will say this, membership, local church membership, it implies a valuing of commitment to one local body of people, one group, one place where you will worship together, where you will serve that place, and you will serve with those people, where you will grow, where you'll be changed together, where you'll be known, where you're not just a face in the crowd, but you're a person who's known, where you will be willing to be held accountable, a place that you will be accountable to. Man, that's important. And so the concept of membership implies a valuing of a group, of a faith community, and laying down spiritual roots there. There's something important about laying down spiritual roots with one consistent community. Our world needs consistency. I have a friend who lives up the street from me, and he was going out with his family and kind of dressed for church, and I was kind of leaving at the same time. I was like, hey, well, you're going to church. Where are you going, man? And he told me where he was going. I was like, dude, I had no idea that's where you attended. And he said, well, that's where we're going this week. So every week they go to a different church, different denomination, different whole different faith tradition, and they just go check out different churches whenever they go. And like my first thought is like, that's actually probably pretty neat. That's probably a pretty neat experience to see all these different kind of different ways different people connect with God and the ways different people worship. But then there's another part of me where it's like, oh man, but that's, you know, maybe temporarily that's something you could do, but that's going to be kind of anemic eventually. Imagine what you would be missing without having spiritual roots in one community, without having that connection, without having that accountability, without having that consistency. Man, that's important. It is important. The local congregation is important. And whatever your theology is on membership and what that looks like, I think most would agree there is something important about consistency with one place and commitment to one place. And so I'll say this, community, being in community is difficult, right? And I know I'm speaking to a congregation of people. I know there's a handful of people in here who've been hurt by community, who've been hurt by church. And it's hard to be here. And for those of you struggling with that, again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving community a try again. And I hope that you are blessed by it. Because I believe that community can sometimes be difficult, but I also believe community is worth it. I believe we're blessed by this. I would not be who I am today if it wasn't for my local churches that I grew up in, that were blessing me, that were shaping me, for the adults that believed in me, who saw something good in me and named it and saw it, for the people who welcomed me into their home, my parents' friends who cared enough to invest in me. There's something really powerful about a church community. And I think maybe as we think about that, it is important to think about your home church, where you grew up at, supposing you grew up with a home church, and how they blessed you and how they invested in you, and how we want to be a part of that. So I wanted to get that out of the way before we get into what it means to be Westgate members next week. But I want you to hear this morning is there is a global universal body of Christ that you enter into when you are baptized. But there is something really important about belonging to a family, about being a part of a group that's going to hold you accountable, walk with you. And I think it goes both ways. I think that's something important we're going to talk about next week is when you place membership, it is a covenant. You are saying, I'm going to be part of this group, but also the group is also going to be very accountable to you. And that's something I think we're going to work to emphasize more. But we want to offer an invitation this morning. If you want to become a part of the group of people all over the world who submit to Jesus, who are part of God's kingdom, if you want to be part of that, we're going to offer an invitation. Also, if you want to be a part of our local church, that invitation is also open too, and we won't make you come to the front for that. If that's something you want to do, you can put that in the binder. You can reach out to the church. You can talk more with us about what that means, and we'll talk next week about what it means to be a member here. But if you have any need, I believe this community is a special community. I believe this is a community that it has blessed me and my family for a long time, and I would love for you to experience that blessing too. But if you have any need or you want to give your life to Christ, we invite you to come now. It's together we stand and sing.